So, have you been enjoying the Commonwealth Games? Yes. Australia learned how to swim again? It's all good now, but the Americans aren't in the Commonwealth. No. So the Olympics will be different. But we like the, what sort of sticks in your memory from things like the Commonwealth Games, but I like the times when things don't run according to the script. You know, those times, Kate Campbell's going to win this one and she doesn't, but Bronte does. The kind of upset of the script. Or the netball team from New Zealand, beaten by Australia yesterday, but beaten before that by England and before that by Malawi. That was not supposed to happen. Everyone knew the netball final would be between Australia and New Zealand, and that would be today. But no, the netball final is between Australia and England, and is today. And I won't bother with that. Eloise Wellings, Madeline Hills, and Celia Sullahan. Who are they? They're not even my country, and I know who they are. They are runners. In what event? 10,000 metres. And they are famous in Australia. Apparently, well, they are, apart from in here. that they're famous because they did not get placed in their race. Do you see this image? The three Australian girls who ran in that 10,000 metre final, not one of them got placed, but they waited at the finish line for the last runner to come through, whose name was Linneo Chaka from Lesotho. She was a good 5 minutes behind everyone else. They waited for her to finish. And that is one of the defining images of the Commonwealth Games. I bet no one can name who actually won that race. Stella Chisang from Uganda. And a tremendous achievement. And in fact, one of those Australian girls ran a personal best. So how anyone thought she would actually be placed at all in that field, I'm not sure why. But anyway, despite the fact they didn't win, they probably did more for the reputation of Australian sport by not winning and waiting at the line than if they just powered on through. The script did not go according to plan. And oftentimes it doesn't. We think we know how things are going to be. No one would have expected Newcastle Jets to beat Central Coast Mariners by a margin of 6 goals last night. Well, they wouldn't have done this time last season when it was the Jets who were at the bottom of the ladder and not the Central Coast Mariners. Things change. Sports like that. That's why we like it, I think, because the unexpected happens. Our reading today is from Acts chapter 3, and it's a story when the unexpected happens. It's when the script does not run according to plan. And the reason the script doesn't run according to plan on this day was what we've been hearing about this morning. The Spirit of God moved and intervened, and things were different. Acts chapter 3. Read from verse 1 to 20. Acts chapter 3, from verse 1. One day, Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer at 3 in the afternoon. Now, a man who had been lame from birth was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful, where he was put every day to beg from those going into the temple courts. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. Peter looked straight at him, as did John. Then Peter said, "Look at us." So the man gave them his attention, expecting to get something from them. Then Peter said, "Silver or gold I do not have, but what I do have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk." Taking him by the right hand, he helped him up, and instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. He jumped to his feet and began to walk. Then he went with them into the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God. When all the people saw him walking and praising God, they recognized him as the same man who used to sit begging at the temple gate called Beautiful, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. While the man held on to Peter and John, all the people were astonished and came running to them in the place called Solomon's Colonnade. When Peter saw this, he said to them, "Fellow Israelites, why does this surprise you? Why do you stare at us as if by our own power or godliness we had made this man walk? The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, has glorified his servant Jesus. You handed him over to be killed, and you disowned him before Pilate, though he had decided to let him go. You disowned the holy and righteous one and asked that a murderer be released to you. You killed the author of life. But God raised him from the dead. We are witnesses of this. By faith in the name of Jesus, this man whom you see and know was made strong. It is Jesus' name and the faith that comes through him that has completely healed him, as you can all see. Now, fellow Israelites, I know that you acted in ignorance, as did your leaders, but this is how God fulfilled what he had told through the prophets, saying that his Messiah would suffer. Repent, then, and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out, that times of refreshing may come from the Lord, and that he may send the Messiah who has been appointed for you, even Jesus." That's the good news about Jesus for us today. Good news about Jesus for that man that day, and for the people looking on in the temple, wonder and amazement at what God had done and what God was doing. By any accounts, an ordinary day. People going about doing what they did every day. It was not unusual for Peter and John to go to the temple to pray at 3 p.m. That's what they did. They were good Jewish boys, and that's what they did. They're in Jerusalem. The end of Acts chapter 2, after the Holy Spirit's been given to the believers, we're told every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. Every day they went to the temple. Every day to the temple. And also every day this man who's been lame from birth is carried and placed at the gate in order that he can do his day's begging to sustain himself. Every day. So I'm wondering a few things about this everyday story. I'm not sure this is the first time that Peter and John have seen this man. They go every day. He's there every day. And we're creatures of habit, aren't we? All those gates around the temple, they went for the gate called Beautiful. And I reckon they would have done that every day. And so they've seen this man before, I want to suggest. Every day, he's there. Just another day. Jesus went to the temple just a few weeks beforehand when this is taking place. Did Jesus see this man sitting by the gate called Beautiful every day? Or at least on the days he was there. You see, healing miracles are tricky, aren't they? We read about them in the Bible and we're amazed by them and we hear modern, contemporary stories of healing, and we're amazed by those too. And yet, I would bet this dollar on this table, because that's all I've got to hand, that we've all prayed for someone to be healed of something, and we've all had the experience of not seeing that happen this side of eternity. So healing is difficult. But we are told that we are to pray for it, and we are told that we understand from the Bible that healing is part of a signpost of the kingdom of God, because illness belongs to death, and death does not belong in God's good new world. And so we know there will be a time when all suffering and all illness will no longer be part of creation. We're not there yet. And I want to say, I'm not going to talk much about healing today, but I want to say, if you are in need of praying for healing, then you absolutely should seek that here from your brothers and sisters in Christ, because we stand with you in that need. And we don't understand the mystery of when that happens and when that doesn't. See, the point of a story is not the healing. How much of the time in that verse is actually spent talking about the healing? Very little. The man asks for money. Peter and John give him not money, but physical healing. He goes on his way praising God. And then all that follows is Peter explaining to the onlookers, this is actually about Jesus and what he's done. The story, the point of a story, the point of anything that God does miraculously is to give glory to Jesus and point to him. An everyday occurrence, an ordinary day. Peter and John going to the temple, doing what they do. But something about their obedience to the Spirit in that moment meant that this day would not be an ordinary day. The man asks for money. And it wouldn't have been a terrible thing if they'd just given him some and gone on their way. A lot of us have done that. We're often asked for money. People come here asking for money all the time. They don't generally get it. But, you know, it's an easy thing to do, isn't it? And it would have been easy for them to give him money and go on their way. If that had happened, this story would not be told for us. No one expected anything different to happen. The lame man, he might have seen Peter and John before, but he probably didn't care much about them. There's no suggestion in the story that he knew anything about the Jesus they were talking about, or whether it made any difference to him. His request was for money. His expectation was that was the best that there would be for him in that day. He did not go to the temple that day longing and praying for healing. Well, he may have done, but the Bible doesn't say that. The best he could hope for was the best that he could get on any day. And yet the Spirit of God intervened in that moment, and Peter and John gave to that man out of what they had to give. We watched a film from Indonesia, the fisherman who has given back to his community out of that which was his, given to him. Our friends from China today have reminded us about the importance of just being obedient to God in the moment, and in a very ways of costly ways that we can barely understand here, what it is to give something back, to give that away again, to be proud of standing as one of Christ's people serving in their world. They gave out of what had been entrusted to them. And these are people who had spent time, who had encountered the risen Lord Jesus. We don't know how long after the events of the resurrection and the events of Pentecost this takes place. But there they were. Every day they went there. And this man, every day he was there. And he expected nothing different to happen. Most weeks, you and I come here. We know what's going to happen. Roughly, don't we? We know there's going to be some singing over here. We know it's a Moroba Sunday, so the band will get here at some point. You know, we know it's going to, and we're glad of that. And we know that's happening. And we know that you know, this technology will just work, and we won't think about it, despite the fact that Stacey's been here hours beforehand, making sure so. We know the lights will go on. We don't worship in a place where power goes out. And we still carry on for 4 hours if it's Zambia, say. We know what's going to happen, don't we? I wonder sometimes if our comfort and our ease blinds us to the possible breakthrough. Does that make sense? You see, this man wasn't expecting anything different to happen. At the end of that day, he walked home, and now, rather than begging for his living, he can go earn his living. The disciples have given him the gift of life with Jesus. Jesus has done that for him. Jesus has broken powerfully through into his life. And now he's got dignity. He doesn't need to beg at the gate. He can go earn his living. The unexpected happened, and he wasn't expecting it. You and I come to worship, and I think often, and I can only talk to myself, we're not expecting anything special to happen. It's an ordinary Sunday. We might even say that to each other. Is anything special happening today? No, it's an ordinary Sunday. Maybe you've even had that conversation today. Well, it's not an ordinary Sunday because we've got some guests that we've been inspired by, and we've participated in worshiping the King of Kings. So no encounter with Jesus is ordinary, really, is it? But we can sometimes get ourselves into that mindset of just thinking nothing special will happen. And Peter says, explaining what's going on, "Why are you surprised? Why do you stare at us? The God of Abraham has done this. God has raised Jesus from the dead. We are witnesses of this. And by faith in the name of Jesus, this man whom you see and know," because he's there all the time, "was made strong. It is Jesus' name and the faith that comes through him that has completely healed him." And they take their opportunity and they testify to the power and the presence of the risen Jesus. Why should it just be an ordinary day? How often do you and I expect to be surprised by God? How often do we go about our normal routine expecting nothing different to happen? Are we really open to the possibility of a divine encounter that would change everything? Why shouldn't that happen? Paul writes in Ephesians 1, "The same power that raised Christ from the dead is available to you and to me." Ponder on that for a moment. The same power that raised Christ from the dead is given to his followers. You are an empowered people. So why do we expect to live in the ordinary? Why does every day have to be the same? It didn't have to be for this man. He wasn't even expecting healing. But Peter and John, obedient to the Spirit's leading in that moment, gave to him what they had to give, which was life in Christ. I reckon they took a bit of a risk. I know this because I have prayed with people that in the name of Jesus they would be healed. And right there and then, that happens, and they give glory to God. But we have the experience of knowing it doesn't always go like that. I wonder how this story would have gone had, for whatever reason, the Lord denied that man his healing in that moment. You see, to have faith is to risk, isn't it? Is to dare for God. Peter and John, they've seen amazing things. You see, they saw amazing things before. They spent 3 years with Jesus. They saw amazing things, and they didn't understand a lot of it, and they doubted most of the time. All the amazing things they saw, even when it comes to the resurrection, the actual risen Lord Jesus appearing, they're still not sure what's going on. They don't believe the witnesses of their friends. It takes a while for the penny to drop. The Holy Spirit in their lives makes the difference. They understand the scriptures in a different way. But they are all about Jesus and glorifying him. And here they are in the temple of Jerusalem, right in the seat of Jewish power, right where the conspiracy that resulted in Christ's death took place. Here they are, people who were previously hiding away, running away, speaking up for Jesus right in that place. Peter took the opportunity to talk about Jesus. He says nothing here about his own experiences, his own failures, or his own successes. He just wants to talk about Jesus. And maybe, even if the healing hadn't gone the way that he thought it might, I reckon he would still have talked about the power of Christ. All Peter brings to this task of evangelism is his own testimony, his Christ-inspired understanding of Scripture, his confidence in the power of the risen Lord Jesus, and his obedience to the Spirit of God. He comes to it with an open mind and obedient heart. Two things we could all pray to have more of. And what made that ordinary day different was the way in which Peter and John saw through the man's initial request to his actual need. They went with an open mind and an obedient heart. And all Peter had was his testimony, his understanding of Scripture, his confidence in the power of Jesus, and his obedience to the Spirit of God. I say those four things again, because there is nothing special about Peter. You and I can have these things too. Our own testimony to who Jesus is in our lives, our understanding of Scripture, our confidence in the power of Jesus, and obedience to the Spirit of God. Everyone's got that, or can have. So you and I, armed with those four things, the same things Peter had in that moment, could make someone's ordinary day a very extraordinary day. If we're alive to the possibilities that things don't just have to be how we think they always have to be. Things don't have to go according to the script. In fact, when we allow life to fall into that pattern, we're buying into the enemy's lies, aren't we? The author of life is Jesus. He's come in order that we might have life in abundance, in all its fullness. Life doesn't have to be ordinary. I know that God is present in the midst of the everyday and the seemingly insignificant. Here was an ordinary day. But it wasn't ordinary because they went with an intention that God be glorified. They wanted to talk about Jesus. They had the good news about Jesus they were not prepared to keep to themselves. Their own encounter with the risen Christ had changed everything. They took a risk on this unnamed man's healing out of a sincere desire to see God glorified through it and life with Jesus testified too. It's a simple challenge for us today. Will you join me in expecting the unexpected in our encounters and our routines this week? Will you join me in looking beyond the immediate to see what God is doing in the lives of people? Will you join me in looking beneath the surface of someone else's need to see what's really going on? Will you join me in ascribing all glory to Jesus for everything he graciously does with your life and mine these days? Today, friends, is just another ordinary Sunday. It doesn't have to be.